Let's go to Lebanon now, which is on the verge of collapse. Health officials there are in the grips of one of the world's worst outbreaks of COVID-19 and the middle of an ongoing economic crisis. Intensive care units are full and people are scrambling for basic needs like medicines, baby formula, and ventilators. Joining us for more is Borzu Daragahi. He's an international correspondent for the British newspaper The Independent. Borzu, welcome.
It's my pleasure.
Lebanon's latest surge killed almost as many people in January as died from the disease all last year. How did it get so bad?
It mostly has to do with the decision on the part of the Lebanese government to open the country up for the Christmas and New Year's holidays. Many Lebanese live abroad and they come home just for the holidays. The tourism and hotel and nightclub industries were adamant that the country should open up and allow them to recoup some of their losses. And so the government made the decision under pressure from these powerful players to open up, encourage the Lebanese living abroad to come home. They came, they partied, they went to house parties, they went to nightclubs, they created a super spreader event. You know, my colleague is in Beirut and, she was in the emergency rooms. The emergency rooms are flooded. They're running out of oxygen even.
Mm. Then there was this lockdown in place. This week, they partially lifted this after major protests. But what is life like there right now?
I mean, things are really tough. You have multiple crises kind of converging on each other. You have the collapse of the economy that has been caused by irresponsibility in the banking sector that has caused the currency to just collapse. You have a political crisis. Listeners may recall massive protests last year over the state of corruption and so on. And you have the lingering after effects, it must be said, of this terrible blast last August at the Beirut port, which destroyed some of the most desirable quarters in the capital and really upended people's lives and so on. Meanwhile, you have a state that, you know, over the decades is not able to help out the people who are suffering any of these crises. You know, Lebanon does not have a lot of oil revenue. It doesn't have a big sovereign wealth fund. There's not a big social welfare net. People make it in Lebanon by hustling. They're small business people. They own little shops. They make little deals. They are on the phone all the time. Anyone who knows Lebanon knows Lebanese people. It's a very entrepreneurial country. And these lockdowns really put a hamper on that. And that really restricts people's ability to make a living. And there's nothing to fall back on. And that really creates a lot of tension and it creates a lot of problems for ordinary people.
Is Lebanon able to get any help from other countries or international organizations?
It's still unresolved. But, you know, there is talk of giving Lebanon an IMF loan. But the tension is that because the IMF had wanted certain conditions on giving the loan, there was questions as to whether that money would come through. There's not a lot of international help for anyone these days. Since the 2008 economic crisis, the international lending institutions, international development banks have become even less generous than they were before. And so it's a really tough situation. No, there's not a lot of help for Lebanon.
You mentioned the August explosion in Beirut's harbor. What is the latest on that investigation?
Well, there is a judge who is trying to investigate this case and trying to bring some measure of justice. But there are also reports that many of the powerful players in the country are hindering it. You have reports, for example, that witnesses to the blast are being warned and threatened, not to mention Hezbollah, the Iranian-backed militia group, in their testimony. And then, you know, in the background of all this, there's these new findings. I don't know if listeners have heard about this, but a German company in a deal with Lebanon agreed to find and remove any other potential chemical hazards from the port. And they found a lot, tons of potentially explosive materials. The head of the German company that was assigned to kind of remove this stuff and take it for disposal said that it was still a ticking time bomb, that they were shocked. They'd seen nothing like this in their whole career of removing these kinds of chemicals from hazardous sites.
That's Borzu Daragahi, international correspondent for The Independent. Thank you so much for this update.
It's been a pleasure.